I mentioned to you that that Gail and I will be leaving April 15th for Turkey. While we're there, the words that I use is that we have some sensitive issues that we are going to be working through. Really, all three of them that we're going to be dealing with are on the heels of worker discouragement on the field. You know, when you're in a hostile environment, when you know people don't want you there, the residents, though your heart is passionate, because without the Word of God working in their hearts, they have absolutely no hope of heaven. And so we are going there with the extreme burden to lift the spirits of tired workers, friends of ours. And we've been praying a long time for this particular trip. As you know, you may know, that we didn't know we were going to be able to get back in, because both Turkey and the United States had stopped visas from each country. So a Turk could not come here, and I nor my wife, no American could go to Turkey, could get a visa. And God miraculously opened the door just before Christmas. Both countries resolved their differences to some degree, where they would at least allow visas to be again applied for and achieved. So we did right away. So we got our visas. We leave on the 15th. And let me talk to you about the message I'm wanting to give to our co-workers there. And I'll base it out of a passage of scripture. I hope I've never preached this message here, but who knows? I didn't write it down. If I did, and I really wanted another message, but I could not get away from this. So turn with me to Psalm 90, please. Psalm 90. I have 10 minutes, and I can do it, I think. Psalm 90. And I'm sorry. I knew we were going to have another. We were supposed to have another music number. But we had a video instead. Okay. Here, Moses, the background is, Moses wrote this psalm while traveling through the desert with the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt. And the question that I always ask myself is, what were the children of Israel like? And I wrote three things in my notes. I put, first of all, they were very weak in faith. They complained that God could not deliver them from the pressing enemy. Pharaoh was on their heels, they was after them, and they honestly believed they were doomed, and that somehow or another God could not intervene. Secondly, I used the word gripers. They were gripers. They complained that God could not meet their physical needs. They longed for food and water as kind of a covering, but really they longed for the leeks and garlics of Egypt, their old life. Even though in captivity, they felt like they had it better than what they were experiencing in what we call the wilderness wandering. Number three, they were gossips. They complained that God chose the wrong person to lead them. Isn't that amazing? Someone as dynamic a leader as Moses became, they chided over, and they did not want him. And I put in my notes, God had a unique way of reassuring Moses and adjusting the perception of the doubting. And he brought them all into line. But I want you to notice a thought that Moses gives us in verse 1. He writes, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. You know what Moses was saying? Moses was saying something that could have been like this. Bob, your mother accepted Christ when she was 27. And you were raised under a godly mother who knew how to get a hold of me. And she taught you the scripture. And she walked you through. You have a godly heritage. It's as though Moses would say to my wife, come on, Gail. Remember the testimony of your mom and dad when they got saved? You were just a little kid. But remember how you say dad and mom got saved from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet? Everything about your home changed. And you were raised in a Christian environment to love the Lord. That's kind of what Moses is saying here, without it being in our vernacular in the 21st century. He's saying, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, he's not just saying that general statement that God is their father, but he's really saying a whole lot more. He's saying this, that God, even though I'm in this hot, sweaty, stinking desert with these weak in faith gripers who have nothing better than to tear down my reputation by their gossip, yet I come back to this. You have been my dwelling place, our dwelling place in all generations. When I read that, I wrote this down. When God is all there is that enough for you? When God is all there is that enough for you? It's as though Moses was saying, you know, to make it through life, my focus had to change from my circumstances to my God, from my life situation to the one who gives me eternal life. It was as though Moses was saying, although we are wandering in this miserable wilderness, we find a home in you, God, just like our forefathers did when they came out of Ur of the Chaldees and dwelt in tents among the Canaanites. You know, some of us Christians struggle right here. All we can see in tough times are what we perceive the tough times to be. I wrote in my notes, for the trusting Christian, God has always been our place of safety. For the trusting Christian, God has always been our comfort through every situation. Amen? For the trusting Christian, God has always been our acceptance, even when others don't accept us. For no other reason that maybe they just don't like our personality. But God does. And God has always been our supply. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I wrote, Bob, get yourself in Psalm 121 living. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. You know, it's pretty easy sometimes for us to get so consumed by what's going on that we fail to see the hand of God in it. Let me skip on because I've got to finish where I want to get to. How can we get to the place where we allow God to satisfy us? How can we get there? I asked the question of myself. If God is all there is that enough for you? And I followed up with, how in the world do I allow God to satisfy me? And I think the answer, I'm skipping. Normally I do a very detailed study of this, but look at verse 14. He would write, Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. You know what? You know what Moses was doing? Now, you may call it whatever you want to. I call it reality praying. He was getting to a place where he said, for him, he was asking God to be merciful. In other words, he was saying, God, don't give us what we deserve for our distrusting attitudes. Don't give us that, please. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. I think reality praying begins with faith in Christ. You cannot do reality praying if you're not a child of God's. It's just impossible. I was raised in a Roman Catholic neighborhood. I had many, many neighbors that were very religious, but they were lost. And for them, as often as they did their Hail Marys, and as often as they prayed through their prayer beads, they had no confidence that God would meet the need over which they were burdened or the trial that they were going through. So they would say, boy, to my mom, who was a single parent. My dad left when I was 8. He would say to her, Emily, you sure are lucky that your kids are doing as well as they are. My mother would say, oh, it's not luck. It's God. But you know, reality praying means that we are honest with God as to where we are and really what got us there. And so I asked the question, well, how does God go about satisfying people today? And I made a list. It may be a gumshoe list that you say it's too soft. That's okay. But it's what works for me. Let me list them for you. Number one, I think he satisfies my needs by enlightening my understanding of his word, where the scripture becomes important to me. You know, have you ever had John 3:16 just get a hold of you? You know, where maybe you learned it as a kid. I was an unsaved Baptist kid. I was the first baby in our church's new nursery. I walked through Sunday school when I behaved. Those are periods of not a lot of time. But I got the list on learning all the IMs from the book of John. You know, we had badges because I could memorize anything. But you just memorize it to get the badge so you could pin it on there. You were still the rascal that nobody wanted. We had too many teachers. We had Sunday school teachers quit teaching because they had us. And that was in the middle of the year. So what does God do? He enlightens the word of God to us. I know Pastor has, because he and I talk about this some when we're together. When we read and we've read and read something, but all of a sudden something just leaps out of what we just read, and we go, wow. We're just overwhelmed by it. That's what I mean. You allow the word of God to enlighten your heart. Faith cometh by hearing. We already quoted that. Hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. God has a way of allowing us to. You know, a second way that God does it for me? He blesses me by the sweet fellowship with other Christians. I don't like to be a loner. You know, I when we went to Turkey, I found out by talking with one of the independent Baptist missionaries that I met by chance. That's all it was, by chance. I found out that there are others who are there. Now, there weren't many, maybe not even half a dozen, I don't think, at that time. And I would say, well, who are they? He said, I don't know. I said, what? He said, well, there's one in Ankara. He said, and I know there's got to be one or two in Bursa. No, not Bursa. He said, Izmir. You know, and he went through this. And I said, well, but what's their names? He said, I don't know. But that didn't do it for me. I wanted to know who they are. I wanted, because I am believer dependent as well as God dependent. Do you know that one of the best things you can be to a missionary is just kind and smiley and loving and praying? Because they don't need a whole lot of other stuff. You know how I know that? Because that's the way local churches ought to function, isn't it? Where we're not strangers, we're not islands to ourselves, but we feed off of each other, the spiritual energy. You've been around people that, when they get into your spiritual prayer life, it's like somebody turned a light on. Wow! You know? And then there are others that you realize, you know what? Maybe they need my help. And so you just tag on to them. You look for them. You look for the lonely in the church. You look for those that people don't talk to. And you introduce yourself. Why? Because the sweet fellowship of fellow Christians is basic to good Christian health. And let us consider one another, Hebrews 10, to provoke, to stir unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, as the manner of some is. So that means, listen to this, as awkward as this may sound, you know what my job to pastor is? It's not to be a good missionary. It's to be his friend. So that he has somebody. Because sometimes pastors can't share their hearts with everybody. So he needs a friend. And I have determined, and you know this, because I do this. I'm determined. I'm going to be a friend. You say, but do you know what he's really like? No, I don't talk to his wife. No, I'm only kidding. I'm not going there. You know, I know. Do you understand what I'm saying, though? We need each other. Number three, how does God grow us up? He helps us to overcome the pitfalls and trials of life. Whosoever believeth, 1 John 5, for whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him loveth him also that is begotten of him. And verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whosoever is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. God has a solution to every one of life's situations. And therefore, he is never silent when we need him most. You say, what? Yeah, I've been to situations where, you know, my pastor and I were talking about his dad going to heaven. Okay? My mom went to heaven at 99. She probably would have lived to have been 100, but they dropped her in the shower and she got a concussion in 99 and never fully recovered. So you know what I did this last year? I didn't tell you out there. You know what I did? I went in and I read scripture with my mom who couldn't even hear me hardly. And I sang. It's about the only time I sang because I knew she couldn't hear. You know, and I could be off key or all of that. It didn't matter. And you know what that did? My wife would come and she would join with me on it. Then my daughter came. And before long, we were helping mom, but she was helping us. Because her Christian testimony never ceased. You know, when you hear a parent who cannot remember what she ate an hour ago, pray and stay in close contact with her Savior and never miss a beat, that's an encouragement. Number four, God showers us with blessings. He showers us with blessings. Don't you love Lamentations 3? Begins in verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Then he says this, and I love it. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Wow. Therefore will I hope in him. You know, when your soul says, all I need is God, I'm okay. I think Chisholm understood this, for he would write that great gospel hymn or song, however you want to call it. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning in thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. And five, the fifth one. He encourages us and meets our needs by revealing his plan for our lives, even if it's only one day at a time. Isn't that amazing? People say, why does God choose to sometimes only do it one day at a time? I always said, you know what my standard answer is? Ask him. You know, I don't know, you know. But I kind of have a feeling that for some of us, if we knew too much, it would spoil it. You say, spoil what? It. Whatever it is that God is planning to do with you. So you say, well, what do you do then? You do this, you go home tonight, and on your mirror where you fix your face or you shave, you write the word I-T with a smiley face. And you say, God does good always. And he has a will for my life. And all I need to do is be willing to let him show it to me. This is what I'm going to talk about when I go to Turkey with three separate families. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray that I'll encourage them to keep on keeping on. That the work of God is valuable. It's necessary. And that even though that Satan does his best to get us off track, to derail us, that's not God's will. God's will is to do what? Finish the job. Keep the faith. So that we can say, therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of glory. Amen? Amen. It's not about us. It's all about him. Father in heaven, thank you for Galilee Baptist Church and their faithful support and encouragement to Gail and I. I remember when we started out with them. Boy, we were 60-some-year-old starting up missionaries. And Lord, we didn't know what you had in store for us, but we simply wanted to obey and to do it with a good spirit. And they played such a huge part in that. And I want to thank you for Pastor and his wife. How precious they are to me. I remember when I first came, Gail wasn't with me. She had a conflict and was coming later. And I remember him calling me and he said, can my wife and I meet you and Gail for a meal where we can meet her? Lord, it's stuff like that that just lifts the heart and lifts the spirit. I pray that your hand would be upon Galilee Baptist. May their days ahead be better than the days in the past. May their future, as long as you hold them together, be filled with the joy of the Lord. May you bless them, meet their needs. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you've called us and you've allowed us to be co-workers together with him. In Jesus' name I thank you. Amen.